But coin or cash. And so based on wherever you are in the room financially is going to, in essence, answer whether or not you see your financial condition or situation as one where you're sitting nice or where you're actually in some need financially for what you have. Now, last week we started off, if you're our guest, we started off with a quick question, and it just helped me understand where I better sat in the room. And I want to just ask this question this morning as well to just kind of see where I sit. And so if you're our guest with us or if you weren't here last week, you just participate, okay? So when I ask this question, I want you to answer to let me know where you are. So here's the question. How many of you growing up as a child, elementary school, middle school, high school, even into adulthood today, would say that whenever the subject of math, statistics, dollar signs, percentages, fractions, spreadsheets, that whenever you heard that or saw that you just became a little giddy inside? You got a little excited about it. Any of you in here that just love those types of things? Okay. Wow, okay. Now, you are, as we said last week, and we said Dave Ramsey would consider you to be a nerd, all right? Now, how many of you in here would say, Jonathan, I tolerated it, I put up with it, but it's just not my thing? How many of you would say that's you in here in the room? Okay, so either I attracted some extra cool people and ran off the nerds, or something happened from last week, because last week is a little more balanced than that in the room as well. Well, I'm a nerd as well, and what we discussed last week was that when you really look at the situation of money, is that every one of us seem to look at money differently based on the way we're hardwired in our personalities, whether you're a nerd or whether you are a cool person, and also just from our upbringing, that based on what we went through and our experiences as a child and the people who had the greatest influence on us financially has a lot to do with how in the world we view and how we see money. And so what we discussed last week was that there are really three core principles or truths about balance, which we all want to have probably in every area of life, that I believe that really correlate strongly with financial balance. And so what we chose to talk about is kind of like our analogy is in speaking about the human body and physical balance. And there are really three main things that are essential for this to take place. And these three things that if any of these three get out of whack, you're going to have trouble. But there are some that really tend to be a little more important than the others. And so the first one we talked about last week is this. Is that when you think about physical balance, there is this one part of your body that if this right here is not healthy, if this is not functioning properly, that it doesn't matter about any of the other moving parts and pieces, you're going down physically, okay, as far as balance is concerned. And it's called the inner ear. And we talked about last week how the inner ear, that you have these canals inside your ear, and we put a photo up last week to where you could see it, that are absolutely essential in the sense of remaining healthy. And if these ever were to become infected or if they were to ever not function properly, then in essence what would happen is all the rest of your body could be physically fit, but when you stand up, you will not feel balanced. And so we discussed some of the infections that can set in the sense of the inner ear, one of which is called vertigo. And vertigo is something that maybe some of you here have either dealt with or you know people have dealt with it, but vertigo is an infection inside the inner ear that when it sets in, what happens is that physically, what you feel like is either the room is spinning around you or you are spinning within the room. Now, I've personally never had vertigo, but I've had dizzy spells before. And I've had them at work, like getting off an elevator just out of the blue and standing and having to kind of catch myself. Have any of you ever had that happen? And where I've seen how it can feel, and if you were to take just the dizzy spell that I had and you were to maximize it probably 10 to 100-fold, that's what people feel like when they have a serious case of vertigo. The other thing we know about vertigo is that vertigo leaves you feeling sick oftentimes. You feel kind of nauseous. You just feel bad all over. And you don't really feel like you can function normally as you would like to just in everyday life. Now, what we also discussed last week is just as the same as the inner ear is essential for you remaining physically balanced, the inner heart, when you talk about all things of life, just who you are to the deep core of who you are as a person, is absolutely essential in the sense of being balanced in your life, and especially financially. That believe it or not, and I believe that you believe this to be true like I do, is that whatever you believe to the core of who you are influences everything you do in life. Whatever you believe is true will move you towards action based on what you believe is true or whatever you believe is false. And so what happens is whatever seeps into us as people, that is what drives our behavior each and every day, and the same is true with money. And so what we looked at last week and we discussed was that our decisions financially really are based on our theology of God. Now, you may be here today and you may feel like, well, Jonathan, I don't really know what I think about God. You know, that's why I'm here. I'm just trying to check it out and figure it out and all that. Some of us here believe very strongly about God. Others of us maybe are just kind of flipping about it. You know, I don't know, and you know, I don't know how all these things align. But we're all kind of in different places with that. Well, based on what you believe about God, believe it or not, has a huge effect on what you feel and what you believe about money. And so what we did last week, we looked at one verse in Psalm chapter 24. And this is a declaration by a man by the name of David. He was the second king of Israel. He was one of the most powerful men in the known world at that time. He had all the money, all the influence, all the power he could want. And when David really just kind of stepped back and looked at life, here was the declaration he made. Look at this verse with me, Psalm 24:1. He said this. He said, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." This is what David said. So here was one of the mightiest men of history that as he looked at everything in the world, he said, "Guys, listen, the earth is God's and everything that's in it." And what we discovered last week is that for many of us, what we think of when we think of God, we kind of get this tunnel vision. We kind of have a cap at the heavens as far as practical everyday living. And we kind of really get into this belief that, yeah, God owns everything in some type of abstract way, but on a practical, pragmatic way of living, what we do is we start thinking that the things that we can control and possess and get our hands around are the things that we own. And so what we discovered last week was that whatever you believe about God and what he owns will absolutely, without a doubt, influence how you view money. Now, here's the truth about you, it's the truth about me. Every one of us here look for security in our living, in everyday life. We look for it in our relationships. We look for it in our financials. We look for it in our jobs. We look for it in every category of living. What's very interesting about us is that we believe that whatever we can control, those are the things that we can feel secure in. And so the one thing that I know about you that is true about you and probably true about me is that when I have control over my finances, I feel secure, don't you? When I feel out of control financially, I feel very, very insecure. And the reason for that is because we have this mindset of thinking, well, if I can hold it and get enough of it, I can have the power, the opportunities, the influence, and all these things that I would need to feel secure. But the truth is this. There are some other things in life that you need and I need to remain secure in our living that we have no control over. And that would be the air that you breathe. The oxygen that you breathe in the sense of what's provided for us on this planet to exist. Not only that, the sun to just continue to burn, to keep this planet at a temperature to where life can exist. There are things that for all of us every day that we know that if these things were, if the sun were to go out like a light bulb, we'd be in trouble. If all the oxygen were to just go away, we'd be in trouble. But for whatever reason, we don't have trouble trusting God with that, but we have trouble trusting God with the things that we can hold on to and control. And so believe it or not, with you and with myself, theology, the study of God, the relationship of God and money and you, and what you believe about that is your starting point to being financially balanced. And it's in the heart. If you start with X's and O's and you can spin numbers upside down and sideways and make them say whatever you want, that's a great skill. But that right there will not in any way be the starting point for you living a life of financial balance in your future. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 6, we looked at this last week as well, he said, this is how important it is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And in essence, what Jesus said is what you believe is true in here, that's where your treasure is. So whatever you hold dear here in your heart is going to influence how you handle all of your financial decisions that you make throughout your life. Now, here's the second thing. So the first one is the inner ear, and financially for us and in everyday living, it's the heart. The second thing physically is the brain. Last week I spoke about how little children, and we have four of them, as they start learning how to walk, the thing that you notice that's happening when they start looking like little drunk midgets, right, running around on the ground, and that's what I call mine because they look really funny sometimes, is that when they're doing these things and running around all over the floor and tipping and topping and falling all over the place, is that in essence what's happening is they're having to learn a new thing, and all the circuits and everything in their brain are firing within their limbs, trying to figure out what it's like to be balanced. And so they're trying to figure this whole new path out in their life. And as they start gaining a little muscle and as they start, their brains start adjusting to it, then they are able to better balance themselves as they continue to develop as an adult. And so the brain is important as well. And then the third thing we discussed last week, this is where we're going to spend some time, is around core muscles. You know, we said last week that the muscles that you have in your body are designed to be able to hold you up and hold you upright. So what are essential are the quads and the hams and the calves and the glutes and the lower back muscles and abdominal muscles. All these muscles work together to help you to remain balanced and upright. And around the age of 65 and above, they say that because we become less active, these muscles start to weaken. And as we know, we've heard a lot of times, is that individuals, as they approach this age, what happens is that they start losing their balance a little easier. You know what I'm talking about? And they'll start kind of, it's a little bit more challenging for them to stand up. Their brain may be firing just fine. Their inner ear may be fine. But their muscles are so weak that when they're walking, they're having to really be careful to take care of themselves and not fall and injure themselves. And so core muscles are absolutely essential for balance. Now, the interesting thing about it is I started researching this, and there is a balance test that's out there, and I want to challenge you all to go home and do this, okay? And I'm going to show you this. This is fun. What you do is you go home, and what this test will show you is that based on how many seconds you can remain balanced is basically the age you are in the sense of your balance. That makes sense? So someone that's within an optimal age of this should be able to balance themselves for this long, and here's how you do the test. You actually take your shoes off. You stand shoulder width apart, flat-footed. You have someone in the room with you with a stopwatch and also there in case you fall to catch you. And you take the foot that is the opposite from the hand that you write with and you take it 45 degrees or 6 inches off the floor and then you close your eyes. And however long you can hold your balance like that, it's kind of like Daniel, is it Russo or whatever the guy that was on Karate Kid? You know, it's like the crane kick, you know, it's like, no, anyway. But in essence, that's what you do. And so you stand here, you bend your knee at 45 degrees, you close your eyes, and you just do this. That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. All right, well, here, let me kind of give you, I'm going to give you just a little cheat sheet and let you know how well or how good you are at this, okay? So when you go home and you try this, if you can hold your balance for only 4 seconds or less, you have the balance of a 70-year-old, okay? If you can hold it at 8 seconds or less, you're between 55 and 70, all right? If you can hold your balance at around 16 seconds without your foot touching the floor, okay, that's what that means, just stand like this, you're at the age of 40. And if you can hold it for 28 seconds or longer, you're between the ages of 20s to like 30, all right? So if you stand up here and you do the test and you keep having to do this, then likely, depending on your age, your balance is not where it needs to be. You follow me? Now, the interesting thing about this is there's a lot of factors that go into that balance. There's a lot, right? Your brain, the inner ear, all that. But if all that's fine, and if you stand here and you can't hold your balance very well, then there's another issue that needs to be looked into. And it's another thing called BMI. You ever heard about BMI? Body Mass Index, okay? Body Mass Index. You know, body mass index is a measurement, and I'm sorry for all these physical things. You're learning a lot at church, right, about the body. I'll get to scripture in a minute. But body mass index, here's what body mass index is a measurement of. Is that within the human body, your frame is designed based on your size and how you're born and how you're made and all these things. Your frame is made to carry in a healthy way, in an optimal way, only a certain amount of fat, right? And so if you can stay within these ranges on the body mass index, you're considered to be in good health. If you go over, you're in trouble. If you go under, you need to put a little more fat on, okay? Which would be nice for me, right? Or any of us probably. So, hey, I'd love to have to gain a little. But what happens is what they say is this measurement's based on your height and your weight, and then it tells you what your BMI is. And here's the ranges. If you are between 20 and 25 on BMI, you're considered healthy. If you're over 25, you're considered to be overweight. If you're over 35 BMI, you're considered obese. So when you start thinking about balance physically, and if you stand here like this and you do the deal and everything's right between the ears, if everything's right in the brain, and you try this deal and you keep tipping over, one of the first places to look is just at how much weight you're carrying. If I were to stand here right now and I were to try to hold my balance and you put 25 extra pounds on me, likely I will really, really struggle maintaining my balance. Why? Because the human body, and it's all completely subjective to you and your frame and the way you're built and what you're designed to carry, is only capable of healthy, in a healthy manner, of carrying a certain amount of weight. You know, Melissa and I, one of the shows that we really enjoy is called The Biggest Loser. Have you guys caught on to that show? It's a great show. Melissa and I love watching that show. And the reason why we love watching it is, to be completely honest, is that you really get wrapped up in the characters. You find the characters you really like, and you find the characters you just don't like so much, right? It always happens. And on The Biggest Loser, what you find is there are individuals that end up coming on the show, and the reason why they come on the show is that in essence what they know is that their lifestyle and where they are in their BMI and their health and everything is completely out of control, and they want their life back. For some of these individuals, as they describe their life, they talk about how that as they think back as a child, and even some as an adult for sure, that there was a point in time to where their BMI was at a healthy place. Physically, they were in as best of health they've ever had. And so their physical health, to them, believe it or not, affects them mentally, emotionally, as well as physically. And so time after time after time, as you see these individuals that go on The Biggest Loser, what they tell you is I want my life back, or I want my life for the first time. I feel trapped in my body. I feel like that I can't remain balanced. I feel physically out of it, emotionally out of it, mentally out of it. I'm just out of it, and I want to be healthy again. And so they go for it. They say, I'm going to make this happen. And they push, and they push, and they push. You know, unfortunately today, I believe that when you think about it financially, that with what's going on in our country today, we have a lot of people, and possibly even in this room, that maybe not physically do you feel like you're out of shape or overweight or in bad trouble, but financially you feel that way as well. There are many, many people today in our country, 8 out of 10 are living paycheck to paycheck. They are carrying an enormous amount of weight that is affecting them mentally, it is affecting them emotionally, and it is affecting them even physically. Some to the point to where they're actually giving up on life. Some to where they're abusing drugs and alcohol to try to cope with it. Some to where they're ending their lives early, and on and on and on. There are extreme situations all in between, but there's a lot of in between. And what we know is that in the American home today, there's almost $10,000 of credit card debt for people who hold credit cards. And if you're one of those individuals that are here today, and they're countless people that are out there today that are not here, they're in that same boat. What I know about you, because what I shared with you last week that I knew about me, was that when in the world of personal finance, that there was a time for me to where, just like the people that are on The Biggest Loser, but in a different way, I felt trapped. I felt guilty. Emotionally, I felt overwhelmed. Physically, I felt it where you didn't want to get out of the bed. Mentally, I felt it. I just felt hopeless. And there are so many people today that are battling with this hope or hopelessness. There have been researchers at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, that have run test after test after test of the psychological effects of debt on the human. And what they are finding over and over and over and over again is to where basically debt being carried around by people is in essence eroding at the fabric of the morale of the human heart. And over and over and over again, we continue to just dig and dig and dig and dig ourselves in these holes. You know, the interesting thing is that in Scripture, there's actually a verse that is found in Proverbs. And Proverbs was primarily written by Solomon, who is considered to be the wisest man to ever live. He was David's son. He was the king of Israel. You're talking about wealthy. This dude was wealthy. Wealthier than, they even say, than Bill Gates today, if that gives you an idea in his time. Solomon had more wisdom than anyone. Solomon was writing most of these Proverbs to his children, to his boys, and saying, guys, there are things you need to know about women. There are things you need to know about money. There are things you need to know about life, leadership, all these things. And there is this one place in Proverbs where Solomon is speaking and writing. And at the very end of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, Solomon describes the reason why you feel trapped, the reason why I feel trapped, as it pertains to money. And here were his words. Proverbs 22, verse 7. Here's what he said. The borrower is the slave of the lender. Now listen, guys. Thousands and thousands of years ago, this king wrote a truth that today, when I read that to you and when you really think about it, that describes you. That describes me. The borrower is the slave to the lender. What's interesting about his wording is that Solomon, in essence, is saying that whoever you owe money to, in some way or another, owns you. Have you ever felt that way? You feel trapped. You feel enslaved. And what's very intriguing to me is that when you look up slavery, which unfortunately in our country we have a history of, and you look back on some historical writers, Du Bois is one that has written a lot on the effects of slavery on our African-American friends and others throughout their lives, is that what you find over and over and over and over again is that slavery was one of the most dehumanizing things that you could ever do to a person on this planet. And the reason why is because everyone was created in the nature of God, in the image of God, to be an image bearer of God. And so when God made every one of us, he made within each and every one of us, in the fabric of our soul and in our being, this desire to live life and to be an individual and to pursue all these hopes and aspirations and dreams. And whenever anyone was placed into slavery, they said the greatest effect it had on men, the greatest effect it had on women, and all these things, according to Du Bois, was that their mindset just started getting to a point where they said, I give up. I quit. It had this effect on them that just made them feel like, I'm not worth anything, because they were a slave. And I believe in a different way, but today, that whenever you and I go out and become slaves to Visa, MasterCard, whatever financial institutions that are out there that are just companies, that one, it's by choice, which was different from the individuals in slavery in history. And it's our choice. But there is this feeling, there is this relationship between you and this company or this individual that you owe money to that is a debt and a debtor relationship. You are constantly underneath the press down, the push down of that individual. And to you, and mentally and even emotionally and physically, you start bearing that extra weight. You start bearing that extra burden. You feel like you are a slave. And it, as over time, continues to have this wearing down effect, this numbing effect, that you want to be, four-letter word, free. You know, when you think about individuals back then, that when they were set free from enslavement, they felt this freedom, although they had a lot to overcome. They felt this freedom that finally, I can go out and pursue my hopes and dreams and live the life I've always wanted. Right? When you look at individuals who are in The Biggest Loser, when they start getting to the point where they're free from this body they've been trapped in, their minds were good, they wanted to feel, if you will, beautiful, or they wanted to feel a certain way, that when they were set free from this, they said, finally, I'm free. I can live my life. And did you know that honestly what God wants for you and for myself when it comes to personal finances is for you not to be a slave to anyone, but for you to be free. The freedom you desire inside of you is something that God wants for you. You know, the interesting thing a lot is that people think God wants something from you. God doesn't want anything from you. God owns it all, right? God wants something from you. He wants you to be free. Now, the interesting thing, too, about freedom and personal freedom and finances is this. Is that what gets us into these situations is something that's coming from the heart. And that's why I said earlier that what's so important is you have to change here before you start changing the X's and O's. If this doesn't get right and understand that God owns it all, then nothing else will get right either. So the heart is very, very important. So here's what I want to challenge you with. I want you to think about that God is sovereign over all things. And just as the way you were born and your BMI and what that healthy range should be, you had really no choice in the matter, did you? I didn't pick for myself to weigh the weight or being within the frame and everything that I picked. I was just born this way. God designed and created for me to carry a certain amount of weight. But what I am to do is to manage it. That's my role. the same is true financially for you and for me, is that God, who owns it all, who the earth and everything that is within it is His, that when He gives to you the financials that He gives to you, whatever places of employment you have, whatever incomes you have, as God gives that to you, He is the provider. The gifts are given to you, and you're to manage it. You're to manage what He gives you and do the best with it of what you can. What you're not to do, it's out of a desire of want, and I want, and I want, and more and more and more and more, is to say, God, that's not enough. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to get more. And you take on Visa, you take on MasterCard, you take on Discover, America's, whatever forms of debt you want. Because in reality, God said, I didn't design for you to carry that much weight. I'm giving you what I want you to have for you to manage it and to steward it wisely. So, what do we do then when we find ourselves in the position that we're in? If 8 out of 10 are living paycheck to paycheck, that probably says many of us here are financially in trouble, right? That if you didn't get a check this month, one check, you'd be in trouble this month. 8 out of 10 of us. Likely that means that we're in over our heads. We are carrying around too much weight, and you feel the stress, you feel the pressure, you want out of it, you want out of it, you want out of it. Well, the same is true for this as it is for those that go on that TV show, The Biggest Loser. And it's this. You have to get rid of all that weight. In order for you to get back to the optimal amount of weight that you're to carry, in order for you to get to the point to where you really feel like you are living the life God has for you to live and the freedom He wants for you to live in within what He gives you, you have to dump the weight. And just like, and I've done this so many times, many of us look for the silver bullet pill, help us dump the weight come January, February after we ate too much at Christmas and Thanksgiving, right? And they don't really work. They may work for just a few, however little while, and then you end up right back where you were. The truth is that in exercise, it takes exercise and eating well to really lose weight, doesn't it? And to manage and maintain the weight you're supposed to carry. The same is true financially. You can try to find formulas and quick fixes, and you can try to, you know, skirt the issues and all that, but God designed it to where it's really remain balanced about three main things. And it's this: give first, save second, and live off the rest. That just like for us physically, we're to diet or eat well. For some of us, we need a diet, but eat well and exercise. And if we do those things, we will maintain a healthy body weight and be balanced. When it comes to the world of finances, when God gives you what He gives you, here's what He says: give first, save second, live off the rest. That whatever God gives you, that's what you do with it. That is personal financial balance. At the end of the day, what God wants is for you not to be a slave to anyone, but for your relationship with your Heavenly Father who provides so much for you and for me, because we're all wealthy, guys. In this country, we are all rich compared to the rest of the world. Is that He wants for us to just take it and say, okay, thank you. I don't need any more. And now I'm going to depend upon you, and I'm going to steward and manage what you've given me wisely. That's how God wants for you to live in your personal finances. When you think about dumping debt, the greatest thing I've ever found, and Melissa and I have to adjust this all the time, and when I share this with you guys, I'm not saying it like I've been there, done that, and I'm free and clear. But what I can tell you is it's a constant correction. Just as when you're trying to maintain balance like this, right? My leg is constantly shifting, isn't it? Trying to keep me up. My leg's not just standing here just like this. Right now it's twitching and turning to hold me up. Constant corrections are absolutely essential. And just with you and myself, constantly, as we take the gifts God gives us, as we want to unload that debt, as we start giving and saving and living off the rest, that what will happen is you'll find that you'll constantly have to be making corrections to remain balanced. It's not a one and done. It's a constant thing that's correcting within your life. I want you to hear my heart in this, because I mean it truly. I pray deeply on this. I want you to be free financially. I know some of you don't know me, and I don't know you, But I want to tell you, I want you to be free financially. I want you to be everything God wants you to be in your life. And I know one of the biggest hang-ups for most of us here is it's in the area of finances. And I'm telling you, I've tried every other angle. Some of you in here could probably say, tell me angles that I've never even thought of. But I'm telling you, don't fight God. He owns it all. He's given you a certain amount of weight He wants you to carry. If you're carrying too much, get rid of it. Some of you need to go dump cars tomorrow or this week. Figure it out. Make it happen. You'll feel free. Some of you need to go and dump other debts. Some of you just need to pay off things. Adjust your lifestyle. Quit getting lattes every morning on your way to work. Whatever it may be, right? And free yourself financially to live the life that God has created you for. That's living, guys. What you're experiencing today is not. And that's what I want for you. So, how can you do this practically? Next week, as I said on the 23rd, we're going to have the financial workshop. We're going to walk through budgeting stuff and all that. No one's going to get all up in your business. You don't have to come in here concerned about that. I'm not going to look at the right answers or any of that. It's a DVD, okay? How impersonal can it be, right? You watch it, you kind of laugh at him, and you do what you do. And then we're here to support you and help you in that. But if that's what you need, fill out the card. And as they come and our band sings, drop that in the bucket, and we'll help you next week. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. God, I am so grateful that the only one that you want to have ownership of our lives is you. And Father, I thank you that ultimately you have set us free through Jesus. God, I thank you that you're so merciful with us. You're so gracious. You keep giving to us even when, I know for myself, I've been so stubborn and so selfish that my lifestyle was saying to you, God, you're not giving me enough. I need more. Father, I found myself so entangled and entrapped and enslaved. And God, I thank you for the freedom you've given me. I thank you for the freedom that you want to give everyone here. And God, I pray that you would give them wisdom on the decisions that they need to make and the changes they need to make in their lifestyle so that they would never, ever, ever be enslaved to anyone, but only just be your manager, your steward of what you give them. Father, we love you.